Turning to Bibles today, if you would please, to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I would like to read one verse this morning, but what we find in this one verse, we find the statement in six verses in the first chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, and let me read verse number 7. Verse number 7. The Bible says, "And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so." And it was so. That's my message thought today. And it was so. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, this morning we come to you in prayer. We thank you for this Lord's Day. We thank you for this preaching hour. We thank you for the Sunday school hour. We thank you, Lord, for the good music today, the choir singing, the special music. And our Father, now we, by faith, anticipate what you'll do in the hearts of people at this hour as the Word of God is preached. We pray today for our president, dear Lord. We ask you to protect him from the fiery darts, from the enemy, from Satan who would attempt to destroy him. We thank you for President Trump. We thank you for his courage, his boldness. We thank you that he loves the military. We thank you that he loves the Second Amendment. We thank you that he gives religious freedom in a way that's unique, that many presidents have not done, that he offers that, that he supports it. And Father, today we just pray that you would protect him from the radical liberals who are trying to destroy him. They spend all of their time, dear Lord, fighting our president while he is doing a good job leading our country. So, Father, we ask you today to help him, Lord, through these tough times in our nation's history. Now, Father, today, bless the preaching of the Word of God. Save the soul that's lost. And may the hearts of your people today be stirred, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This statement that we find here in verse number 7, "and it was so," is found several times in this same chapter. "And it was so." That's a very interesting statement. You know, in the Bible, there are many statements that are made that are concise, that are brief, that are very simple. But they are literally packed full of great truth and great meaning. "It is finished" is one. "Jesus wept" is one. And we could go on and on. Here we see the Bible saying, "and it was so." This statement is a statement of fact. It's a statement of truth. It's a statement indicating truth. God made, God said, Genesis chapter 1, followed by the statement, "and it was so." When we think of truth, we think of the opposite of truth. We think of the falsehood today that is so current in our society. We think of the lying that goes on today by fallen human beings. In contrast to God, who's totally true. So you have truth, you have error. You have that which is right, that which is wrong. You know, lying, falsehood, and deceit is characteristic of fallen human nature. Lying is actually, and I'm sure you know this, that lying is actually a quality in some cultures. If a person can successfully lie, some cultures pat that person on the back or commend that individual because that is accepted in some cultures, falsehood and lying. When we think of lying and deception, I think of a preacher one time who told his congregation. He said, next week, he said, "I plan on preaching about the sin of lying." He said, "to help you understand my sermon," he said, "I want all of you to read Mark chapter number 17. Mark chapter 17. The following Sunday rolled around. As he prepared to preach his sermon, He asked for a show of hands. He wanted to know by a show of hands all of those in the congregation that had read Mark chapter 17, and every hand went up. The preacher smiled at that time and he said this. He said, Mark only has 16 chapters. He said, I now will proceed with my sermon on lying. And I heard of something else rather interesting. I heard about this elderly man on his deathbed. He had gathered there at his bedside, he had three distinguished men. He had a priest, he had a doctor, and he had a lawyer. He told those three distinguished men, he said, I want to be buried with my money. He handed each one of them $30,000. He said, when I die, he said, I want you to place an envelope with that money in my coffin when I die. Well, the man did indeed die. And all three of those men placed an envelope in his coffin. It just so happened they were riding together. They were leaving the funeral service. And the priest had a degree of embarrassment. He had a tear in his eye. He said, I've got to confess something. He said, I only put $20,000 in that offering, in that envelope that I placed in the coffin, because he said, our church needed a new roof. So I kept back $10,000. And as the conversation went on, the doctor said, well, he said, I guess since we're confessing, he said, let me make a confession too. He said, our pediatric ward needed a new machine, a new x-ray machine. So he said, I held back $10,002. He said, I put $20,000 in that envelope and put that in the coffin. And then the lawyer spoke up. He said, you sorry two people. He said, you all are sorry. He said, I want to go on record today. He said, I put every dime of that $30,000 in the coffin, he said, and I wrote a check to prove it. You know, six times in this chapter it says, and it was so. Six times. These words follow the words God made or God said. When it says God made or God said, then it's followed by, and it was so. Creation resulted from the activity of God. God said, and it happened. God said, and it happened. God is the author of creation. God created the heavens and the earth. God created the stars in the sky. God created all plant life. God created animals. God created all living creatures. And God created man. Man is here today as a result of God's creation. God made Adam. God took a rib from Adam and made Eve. Human beings today are the highest of God's creative order. The highest. There's nothing living today that's in a higher plane than a human being who's been made in the image of God. When we think of the creative genius of God, it's interesting to note that when it comes to the matter of the human being, the body of a human being, there are, in the average body of a human being, 7.5 trillion cells. It is far more complex than the most advanced computer, verifying, indicating, testifying to the power, to the might, to the wisdom of Almighty God. Here in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, God made, and it was so. The Bible says in this chapter, and God said, and it was so. So the statement, it is so, is a statement of fact. It's a statement verifying a fact. It was so. I would like to take those simple, few simple words this morning and attempt to preach a message using those simple words. And it was so. And it was so, let me say first of all today, that statement is connected to the past. That statement is tied in with the past. And it was so. It's tied in with the past. Let me illustrate, or let me rather explain what I mean by that. Bible history records the accuracy of that statement. We could begin with the dawn of human history. We could talk about the first man, Adam. You had Adam, you have Eve. Now, the Bible said, God told Adam, the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And Adam had to say, and it was so. Because Adam died. Not at that point physically, but Adam would die physically. Adam died spiritually. So you see, when it says, and it was so, Adam found out, and it was so. We could move forward to the days of Noah. Reflect upon the words God said, I will destroy man whom I have created. The world found out, and it was so. There was the time that came that the first drop was noted, first drop of water. That drop of water turned into a downpour. And the waters of the flood covered this earth. And all creation, as far as humanity, with exception of Noah and his family, were destroyed in that flood. God said, I will destroy. And Noah and the world found out. And it was so. Let's move forward. Let's fast track forward. Let's continue on with this thought. Let's come to the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's come to the time of Abraham. God had stated to Abraham that judgment was imminent upon Sodom and Gomorrah because of its atrocious sin. And Abraham interceded. And you know that account. If there would have been only 10 righteous people found in Sodom and Gomorrah, God would not have destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. There was not to be found a sufficient witness. And when the morning dawned, the smoke of the judgment could be seen rather than the city. And Sodom and Gomorrah found the truth out, and it was so. Let's fast forward again. Let's go to another segment of Bible history. Let's come to the time of Israel again. Let's stay focused on Israel. There had been promised that Israel would have a 400-year sojourn in Egypt. Then at the end of that 400 years, Israel would be brought out by a high hand and outstretched arm. The day came that God raised up a Moses. God sent Moses down. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And a lot of things began to take place. And finally, with the death of the firstborn, that was a clincher. And then it happened. Pharaoh's heart changed for a brief period of time. And Israel now leaves. They go out of Egypt. They cross through the Red Sea. And Israel finds out, and it was so. God had promised Israel would be delivered out of Egypt after 400 years. And it was so. Let's continue on in our trek through Bible history. Let's move forward to this. Israel was promised to be brought to an inheritance in Canaan land. After 40 weary years, after coming to Kadesh Barnea and turning back in unbelief and wandering in the wilderness for a total time of 40 years, the new generation crossed through the Jordan River and passed into Canaan land, and that statement now has ringing reality again, and it was so. Let's move forward. Israel was told there would be a captivity. They would be led into captivity. The prophets announced it. It happened. The northern kingdom fell, and then the southern kingdom fell. There was a 70-year period of captivity because Israel was blinded in their idolatry, and God judged them and sent them into captivity, the Babylonian captivity. It happened precisely like God said, and Israel found out, and it was so. There was a time in your mind and eyes you can see Israel. You can see them on the rivers of Babylon weeping. You can see their harps have been hung in the willows. And Israel's weeping because it remembers their homeland. They couldn't sing the Lord's song in a strange land. But God had said they would come out of captivity. Then you have an interesting book in the Bible called the Book of Ezra. Then you have another interesting book in the Bible called the Book of Nehemiah. Then you see in the Book of Ezra that the Jews go back and rebuild the temple. Then you see in the Book of Nehemiah that the Jews go back and rebuild the wall. And finally Israel comes out of captivity, goes back into the land, and again that statement resounds in reality, and it was so. And it was so. Let's bounce back to the beginning of time again. Let's go back again to the Garden of Eden. Let's hear the words of Satan as he would suggest to Adam the wrong course of action. But let's hear what God told Satan. His head would be bruised. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head. Thou shalt bruise his heel. Now travel 4,000 years back forward in history. Come to the place called Calvary. Hear Jesus say, it's finished. See him finishing his work on Calvary. And again be reminded of fulfilled prophecy. 4,000 years precisely from the time that God said that Satan's head would be bruised. Calvary comes into reality. And it was so. And it was so. This statement finds connection to the past. This statement finds connection to Bible history. This statement finds connection to event after event throughout Scripture that is verifying the truth of God's Word, that is verifying the accuracy of what God says, that is verifying that when God says something, God will deliver on what He says. And it was so. That statement is connected to the past. Now let me transition to another point. And it was so. That statement has connection to the people of God. To the people of God. Now look back before you got saved, child of God. Look back to those pre-Calvary days. Look back to those pre-salvation days. Remember the life you lived. Now think of a Bible verse. The way of the transgressor is hard. And remember how it was before you got saved. The way of the transgressor was hard. And it was so. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And it was so. You that are here this morning that may not be saved, I can tell you right now you're suffering exactly like God said you would. There is no peace to the unsaved person. There is no contentment to the unsaved person. The way of the transgressor is hard. You're getting exactly what God said sin would cause you to have. And it was so. Stay with the thought. Now, I'm thinking of what happens when a soul gets saved. I'm thinking of the precious Bible. I'm thinking of the passage of Scripture that says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Every single one of us today in this church service that took God at His Word, that accepted Christ as our Savior, we found out where it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved," and it was so. Thank God it was so. When the Lord says, "Come," God means it. Those that come to Him, He'll not cast them out. He says exactly what needs to be said, and He will always do what He says He will do. And it was so. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And it was so. The promised peace, the promised joy, the promised victory, the promised assurance, and it was so. The supply of grace, "My God shall supply all your need," and it was so. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me," and it was so. Yes, and it was so, ties in with the past, and it was so, ties in with the people of God. Hasn't God delivered on everything He said He would do? Hasn't He been with us all the way? Hasn't He blessed us through life circumstances? Hasn't He been good to us all the time? And it was so. I'm here to say this morning that this blessed book is still as good as it was when God gave it. It's still as precious. It's still as powerful. The promises are still just as valid. God hasn't changed. The world has surely changed, but not my God. Not my Bible. Not the truth of Scripture. And it was so. And it was so is connected with the past. And it was so is connected with the people of God. And it was so is connected to the promises of the Bible. Think about this. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Every departing saint of God, every child of God who has died physically has to say, "And it was so. I found Him there with me. I found it was a valley of shadow of death. I found that His grace was sufficient. I found Him giving me the grace that I needed to die, and it was so." I may fear dying. I may worry about dying. I may not have a lot of comfort when I think about dying. But guess what? I haven't died yet. And when it comes time to die, I will be saying on the other side of this life and on the side of that best life, I will be saying, "And it was so." Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. And every person who's died in the Lord are saying, "And it was so." I'm thinking of a grand and glorious promise that the people of God hold dear to their hearts this morning. Here it is. "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." These same words are going to match reality. When He comes back, when that trumpet sounds, when that upper invitation is given, the church of God will say, "And it was so." We've preached these truths for years. We've believed them. We've held them dear. They are a basic fundamental part of our doctrine around here. We believe in the imminency of the coming of Jesus Christ. He is coming back. And we will say, and it was so. Critics can criticize the event all they want. And Bible skeptics and agnostics can ridicule the Bible and try to tear it apart all they want to. But bless God, today let us understand, and it was so. The Bible is still intact. These truths that we love, that we pillar our head upon, that we're thrilled about, we one day will say, and it was so. What about this one? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. What about this one? There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. I will be able at some point of time, while I may question that truth now, while sometimes I may struggle a little bit with the security of the believer, sometimes when I sin, when I do wrong, I may wonder, how can a saved person have these thoughts and do these things? But yet within my heart of hearts, the Spirit of God has a way of reminding me it's wrong, I need to confess it, I need to get it out of the way. And during those times of doubt, and we all have them, one of these days, this doubt will change into total reality of the fact of it was so. God will never lose one of His own. Eternal life means eternal life. If you've ever cashed in on eternal life by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are as secured as far as going to heaven as you'll ever be. There's no such thing as being more justified tomorrow than you are today. Justification is a finished act of God. It's split second, it takes place, it'll never be improved on. Sanctification is a different story. Being set apart more and more as we grow more in godliness, but not justification. And it was so. I believe that heaven will consist of people, some people, that'll be in heaven and may initially be a little bit surprised they're there. Because many people have struggled thinking, I've got to work, strive, labor, persevere in order to get to heaven. But there was a time, many of them, where they knew they were a sinner and they trusted Christ as their Savior. They took God at His word. They did what it says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. They, at one point of their life, let's say, they approach salvation with the simplicity of a child receiving a gift. And that's what it is. But as many as received Him. You know, it's not a complicated thing to receive a gift. When someone gives you something, all you have to do is reach out and take it. Now, theologians, so-called theologians, muddy the water. They'll say you got to do all of this stuff. No, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. I believe that perhaps there will be people initially that are in heaven that will be a little bit surprised because let's say the last chapter of their life wasn't a good one. Let's say they were in total defeat. But they still die and go to heaven. Why? Because God meant what He said. And it was so in terms of how we are saved. And it was so in terms of the fact we have eternal life. And it was so in terms of the fact that we're justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it was so. They're going to find out. It was so. Thank God for that. And it was so. And then finally this morning, and it was so, it's connected to the person of God. And it was so is connected to the person of God. Here's what I'm saying. If it was not so, God's character would be in question. If it was not so. If God said something and didn't mean it, his character would be in question. How can God be less than total truthfulness? How can a perfect God ever sin by untruth, by deceit, by falsehood? If it was not so, God's character would be in question. If God says, and it was so, and it is not so, then his word would be in question. If you can find one single mistake, one single discrepancy, one single unfulfilled promise. Now I know that prophecy, there's prophetic promises to be fulfilled yet. But I'm saying, God has always delivered on everything he's promised. If it was not so, not only would his character be in question, if it was not so, his word would be in question. If he promised to save and couldn't save, then that would mean that there's a question in terms of his omnipotence. His omnipotence means he's all-powerful. His omniscience means he's all-knowing. His omnipresence means he's all-present. But if God could not save, if he said, I will save, and cannot save, then that would be a question mark in front of his omnipotence. That would mean that he lacked the power to do what he said he would do. And that will never be. His power means he has the ability to do it. Now his promise means he's committed to his truth and will honor what he said he would do. He's able to do it because he's all powerful. He's willing to do it because he loves mankind. Jesus paid sin's debt for mankind. And God is able, because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, to save lost sinners. If he is immutable, and here's another word I'll explain. To say that God is immutable means that God is unchanging. That's what it means. Immutable means unchanging. Now, since God is immutable, and there are many verses supporting that, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God is immutable. God does not change. Now, coming back to the point here that we're talking about this morning, if God would change his mind, his honor would be at stake. If he said, I think I'll save that person, and then he changes his mind, then his honor would be at stake because he's immutable. He cannot change his mind. He's the same. And I'm thankful for that today. I'm glad that God loves me in spite of the fact of I'm so unloving. I'm glad that God still cares for me the same he did when he saved me. He hasn't changed. Attitudes change with the people relationships. You and I can affect how someone feels about us. You try being unkind to a person very long, unless they're a real good friend. You try treating people like dirt, being unkind to them, apart from the grace of God. Now, Christians are able to love. I understand that. But as a general rule, the way human nature is set, you can actually find yourself not liking a person because of their disposition or the way they treat you, their attitude. But thank God this morning, there's nothing that you and I could do to ever make God love us less. Nothing. Nothing we could do to make God love us less. His love is everlasting. He's an immutable God. Now, if it says, and it was so, and if it was not so, then God's honor would be at stake. Since it says, it was so, if it was not so, then we could say today, the blood of Christ would be at stake. If God delivers a promise, I'll save you because my son paid your sin debt, But if you come to him by faith and do what the Bible says, and he would not save you, then the blood of Christ would be at stake. Because Calvary would be called in question. But thank God this morning in closing, I want to say it was so. And that leads me to say it's still so. And then that leads me to say even further, it will always be so. I'm telling you this morning, there is still hope in God. I'm telling you this morning, Jesus can still save souls. I'm telling you this morning, I don't care how far sin may have taken you down into degradation, the grace of God can pull you out. You haven't done anything today so bad for what God won't save you if you'll trust Him. But please, don't be the person who will wake up in hell because it's too late. And you will be reminded of those words, and it was so. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. Please do not be in the category of the person that will wind up going to hell and having to say, and it was so. The Bible warned me. There's a penalty for my sin. And I failed to accept Christ. And child of God today, you and I should fall heavy on that precious statement. What God said He will deliver. What He said He means it. His promises will, every single one of them prophetic. Every promise in the Bible will one day find fruition. And we all will be saying, looking back, and it was so. Thank God today for the truthfulness of Scripture. It was so, it is so, and it will always be so. Let's bow our heads in prayer.